Just to review what we did yesterday, in a very short synopsis, we have the Gemara here on the top of Kuf Yud Beis Amud Beis about Dogim V'Ofos Shemolcham Ze Im Ze. So in this case, he salts both chicken, which has a problem of dam, and dogim. Dogim, there's no Easter in the dam, but the problem is that if he does malicha of ofos and dogim together in one receptacle, is asurim, it means that the dog will now absorb the tam of the dam that's coming out of the ofos, and it becomes asur. And here we have machlokas rishonim, what about the ofos? Rashi and Tosfos are of the opinion that the ofos remain mutter, because they're too busy being polate and dam to be bolea back from the dogim. The Rashbam says that everything is awesome, not only the dogim, but even the ofos, because according to the Rashbam, there's a continuous process of malicha which goes on, and it means, according to the Rashbam, that the dam was going to go from the ofos into the dogim and then back into the ofos again. The Gemara says, "Hechi dami, what's the case? If it's absolutely hermetically sealed vessel, then afilu ofos v'ofos nami os. Then, in general, if you have two pieces of meat, two pieces of chicken, whatever it might be, that are being salted simultaneously in the same receptacle, there's no room for the dam to go out, so the dam is sort of backlogged, you know, and it collects in the receptacle, and now, you know, the dam, everything is soaking in dam, is then it's also in general. So why do you tell me, Rav Nachman, that this case is different, because it's a case of dogim and ofos? Ve'iba kli menukov, if on the other hand, by process of elimination, we're talking about a receptacle that has openings, then lechora the dam is going to go out of the ofos, and it's going to go down through the openings, you know, through the nekovim. And afilu dogim v'ofos nami shari. Therefore, everything should be mutter. Why? Because you're worried about the dam of the ofos. You don't have to worry about the dam of the ofos. When the dam of the ofos comes out, it's going to go right down through the nekovim. So the Gemara says, li'olam b'kli menukov. And you'll ask me, well, if it's a kli menukov, then the dam is going to go out through the nekovim. So the Gemara answers, where's the problem? Dogim mishum de rafu kramayhu kadmi ubali. The process by which the dogim are polate is a very quick process. The dogim will very quickly arrive at the state of naich. Naich means where it's no longer actively being polate. Why? Because the skin, the outside of the dogim, is very soft, and there's nothing really holding back the dam. So once you do the malicha on the dog, within a matter of minutes, maybe even shorter than that, all the dam is going to come out. Now, once the dam comes out of the dogim are no longer actively involved in plata. They are now in a state of nayach, and now they could be bolea. Whereas the ofos, the Gemara says, is kmite. Kmite means they have a very tough outer surface. Mikuvatsim means that they're sort of like, you know, when you take skin and you shrink it, like, you know, like these kind of lines, like that I have here. You see these lines? That's called kuvatsim, right? So that also is going to hold back the dam and postpone the plata sadam. So the spitting forth of the dam, in the case of ofos, is going to come a little bit later. Now, at that moment, when the dam is coming out of the ofos, guess what? The dog is free. It's nayach, because it's already completed its process of being polite. So now, hodar bali mine. Now the dogim are going to be bolea. They are going to absorb the dam that came out of the ophos. But in the case where you have two pieces of meat that were salted simultaneously in a kli, in a vessel that has holes in it, then both pieces of meat are going to be polate at the same rate. There's no delay process over here. And we have a principle that as long as the meat is tarud, it's like preoccupied and actively involved in being polate, lo bali. It doesn't have the time, the freedom, so to speak, of motion to be bole. So this is where we got up to yesterday. And now, Bli Neder, we'll start the new Gemara for today, which we touched on yesterday. Jerry?
If the meat for that above the fish, vice versa, why would it be...
Let's say you have two layers of meat, let's say, before we get to the fish. Let's talk about stomach case where you have two layers of meat. So when you salt the top layer, then what's going to happen is that the top layer of meat is going to finish its process of being polate, and now it's naich. Now you get to the second layer, the lower layer, which we call the tachton, and when you salt the tachton, now it's going to be polate. The top one is already finished with its plata, and now it could be bolea, so you have a problem. So then what we need to do is we have to sort of synchronize the melicha of both pieces of meat. And this is going to be a discussion in the poskim, exactly how long of a delay you can have. Now some of the Rishonim say that even in Plata there's a two-stage process. Stage one is Platas Adam, and stage two is Platas Tzir. And we said that Tzir is not Dam, but it's some sort of a reddish thin liquid which is continuously coming out of the meat. So it could be that process, which includes both Platas Dam at stage one and then Platas Hatzir at stage two, is a long process. And that's going to keep the meat preoccupied in being polate, such that even if I'm going to salt the two pieces of meat in sequence, nevertheless, the top piece of meat is still involved in being polate. Why? Because there's that second layer of tzir, and therefore it will not be bolea. Now, if you ask me about fish and chicken, so here's the deal. If let's say the chicken and the fish are flat on the surface in a receptacle and you're salting both together, then we have our problem that the fish is going to be polate very quickly, gets to the state of naich, and then it's going to be bolea from the chicken, which is going to be polate at a slower rate, with a delayed reaction. Now you're asking me, Jerry, what happens if the fish is on top of the chicken or vice versa? So let's see if we can establish the following. Let's say that the chicken is on top of the fish. Let's talk about that scenario. That's really good news. Why? Because then you're going to start salting the chicken on top before you get to the salting of the fish on the bottom. So what's going to happen is that you've sort of closed the gap on that delay reaction, so that by the time you get to the salting the fish, which is on the bottom, at that point the chicken has already completed its process of being polate dam, and if it's a kli menukov, then the dam goes down the nukov. But now we get to your case. What happens if the fish is on top? If the fish is on top, so then the fish will very quickly get to the state of naichi, and then if you keep everything in the same utensil, and now you're going to salt the chicken is going to be polate its dam, and as a result, the fish will be bolea that dam because it reached the state of naichi even earlier. So I would say that putting the fish on top makes your life even worse. You exacerbate the problem. But if the fish is on the bottom, that l'chora could be a solution to this whole issue. Why? Because then, by the time the fish gets around to its turn in malicha, the top chicken has already completed its process of being polished. Could be. All this has to be, of course, researched very carefully in the poskim. Now the Gemara tells us about Rav Mari Bar Rochel. So where is Rav Mari Bar Rochel? This is four lines up before the end of Kuf Yud Beis Amud Beis. Four lines up from the top, from the bottom. Excuse me. All right, we have it. The Imlach Lei Besar Shchuta Behadei Besar Trefa. Now, exactly why this happened, I don't know, but the scenario is such that he has two pieces of meat that are being salted simultaneously. Let's say it's a klima nukov, and one is kosher and one is treif. Also, Lekamei de Rava, Rav Mari shows up in front of Rava to ask him whether he's allowed to eat the basa shchuta, because perhaps since they were salted at the same time, the basa shchuta would be bolea the dam, or for that matter, be bolea any part of the basa trefa. Maybe even the, you know, we'll see soon that the basa trefa has other elements to it, not just dam. There are other parts of the trefa that could generate an iser. So Rava responded that it's awesome. How do I know that Rava responded it's awesome? Because he quoted a pasuk with a drasha. The pasuk is, and this is Vayikra Perek Yud Aleph. It says, I'll read the whole pasuk to you. Ele hatmeim lachem bechol asheretz. This is in Parsha Shmini. Kol hanogea bahem b'mosam yitma ad ha'arev. And there's an extra word hatmeim in this pasuk. It says ele hatmeim, and the Torah has already indicated that these are tmeim. So even if we need the word tmeim, but we certainly don't need the hay of hatmeim, so that for sure is a superfluous letter, and that comes as a ribui. And Rava refers us now to a brisa, and the brisa derives from the extra hay, hatmeim, lesar Tziram, Verotban, Vikipa Shalahim. So we have three separate drashos over here, three separate derivations, and we have to go through them one by one. The first is called Tzir, the second is called Rotev, and the third is called Kipa. Tzir is some sort of a liquid substance that is removed, it is extracted from the body of the basar through the process of Malicha. So Malicha removes the tzir, and this tzir is awesome. Now keep in mind, my friends, we're no longer talking about the issue of tzir that comes out after the dam comes out. That's in a kosher animal. Here we're talking about the tzir of a non-kosher sheretz in this case. Now there's going to be a long discussion here in the Tosis about other animals that are not kosher. Are they derived from this pasuk hatmeim? This pasuk is written in the parish of Shrotzim, and as a general rule, the laws of Shrotzim are very unique. We don't derive conclusions from Shrotzim to other machalos asurs, to other non-kosher animals. And Tosfos is going to claim that he has a drasha to generate an isur tzir in a behema tmeya as well. So let's say, for example, if you would salt the meat of a swine or a bacon or whatever you call it, then there would be tzir that's coming out through this malicha, and that tzir is osur as well, and that's based on a different drasha, not on this drasha of hatmein. Then we have something called rotev, which means that if you cook a sheretz, then there's a certain taste that of the sheretz that goes into the liquid, and that's called rotev. We call it sort of like gravy. And then we have kipa. Kipa means that when you have meat and you spice the meat, then what happens is that some of the meat, you want to look for Asher and see if he's ready? is nikfe, it sort of like coagulates or gathers b'shulei hakdera on the bottom parts of the pot. So when you cook meat, you have two problems. You have, first of all, the taste of the meat that goes into the liquid. In this case, we're not talking really about meat, we're talking about a sheretz. And you also have pieces, small pieces of the meat that sort of gather together in the bottom of the pot. And all this is a result of bishul. Okay. Now, what's critical for us here, as far as the case of Rav Mari, is the tzir, which means that when you salt a kosher piece of meat with a non-kosher piece of meat, as a result of the salting process, the non-kosher piece of meat, which is called trefa, is going to be polate, not only its dam, but also its tzir. So even if the two pieces of meat are simultaneously involved in the process of being polate, because he's salting both pieces, so you would say agav detorid liflot lo bali. But since there's another process of tzir, already at that moment when the tzir is coming out of the trefa, the kosher meat is now free enough, so to speak, resting enough, so that it could be bolea that tzir. And that was the answer that Rava gave Rav Mari as to why he's not allowed to eat the basa shchuta, because the basa shchuta is now going to be bolea, the tzir that's coming out of the trefa, and that takes place at a later moment after the basa shchuta has already completed its process of being pole. So now it's free to be bolea, the tzir. Okay, let's talk about a few things now. We'll get to a few issues here in this Gemara. Okay. Now, the first issue is that this drasha that Rava quotes from a brisa regarding sheretz is actually on a pasuk in Parsha Shmini that deals with shrotzim. However, if you take a look in the Toras Kohanim in Parsha Shmini, you'll see that there are another two drushes. One drush is from a pasuk that says Tmeim Heim Lochem, and we're all in Perek Yud Aleph in Sefer Vayikra. That pasuk is in the Parsha Behema Tmeah, non-kosher animal, and the Sifra derives from that pasuk, Tmeim Heim Lochem, that the Tzir, the Rotev, and the Kippa of Behemos Tmeos are Asurim. There's another pasuk that says Shiketz Heim Lochem, and that is in the Parsha of Dogim Tmeim, non-kosher fish, and the Toras Kohanim derives from that pasuk, Sheketz Heim Lachem, to generate an Iser in the Tzir, the Rotev, and the Kippur. So Tosis proves that the drashos with regard to Shrotzim and Behemot Tmeah are what we call drashos Gemuros. That means we're dealing with an Iser Doraisa of Tzir and Rotev and Kippur, with regard to two categories: number one, Shrotzim, and number two, Behemot Tmeah. However, says Tosfos, the drasha with regard to Dogim Tmeim, that was derived from Sheketz Heim Lochem, that's an Asmachta. The Iser of Tzir in the case of Dogim is only Durabot. That's point number one. Now Tosfos asks the following question: since we need two different drashos, one separate drasha for Shrotzim and another for Behemot Tmeah, and in the case of Dogim, we don't have a drasha gemura, right? Because the seer, etc., of Dogim is not awesome in a Torah. So if that be the case, we need a separate drasha for Behemot Tmeah. We should also require a separate drasha for Trefa. Now, let's just think about it. Trefa is really what kind of an animal? Is it a kosher animal or a Trefa animal? It's a kosher animal. But the kosher animal had an injury, a puncture to its vital organs, and therefore became a Trefa. We cannot derive any conclusions from Behemot Tmeah to Trefa. And certainly not from the case of a sheretz. So even if you assume that our Gemara Rava's response to Murray when he quoted the drasha of Shrotzin would also include the drasha Behemoth Tmeya, which we said was derived from the pasuk Tmeim Hemlachem. That still doesn't give us the derivation of Tzir in the case of Behemoth Tmeya. So Lachora, we're in really deep trouble. Satosis answers, and this you'll find also in the Mardechai, that the Tzir of a Trefa is only Durabana. There is no source for the Iser Tzir in the case of Trefa. Now, what that means is that when Rava quotes the drasha of Shrotzim to teach us from this drasha of Hatmeim that the Tzir of Sheretz is also min HaTorah, that's the basis for Gzeras Chachamim in the case of Tzir of Nevelin Trefa. So Trefa generates an Iser Tzir min Rabbanon. That's the Teretz of Tosus and the Mardechai. However, we have a sefer called Chosein HaYeshuos, one of the Achronim, and he writes that there's no drasha for Shrotzim and Behemoth Tmeya. It's both; they both are derived from one pasuk, and the Iser Tzir is derived from one pasuk. The second pasuk teaches us the Iser Rotev, and the third pasuk is going to teach us the Iser Kippah. Now, once we have one single pasuk to teach us Tzir, then Chozrim Ulemedim Zem Mizeh Shebishneim Asurim Gam Hatzir V'Gam Arotev V'Im Kein Efshaluma Mehem Gam Trefa. So according to this approach, we can derive Trefa from the combination of Behemoth Tmeya and Shrotzen. Interesting. So you have to know more about how you could derive the conclusion in Trefa that Seer of Trefa is also from Behemoth Tmeya. But once you figure that out, then the tzir of a Behemoth Tmeya is d'oraisa, not the way we saw it in the Mardechai, that the tzir of a trefa is only d'rabbanan. Now the Ritva has a slightly different girsa in our Gemara. Instead of the word trefa, he has the word nevela. And the Ritva asks on that girsa, how could Rava prove from Shrotzim any conclusion about Nevela? And the Ritva says that the Gemara later on in Daf Kuf Chav, that's 120, has a drasha for a ribui of Tzir Shel Nevela. And therefore, the Gemara wasn't careful here in being medagdeg as to whether or not we're deriving it from Shrotzim or there's a special drasha Nevela. But in any event, there is a source for Tzir Nevela, and Tzir Nevela is Asur Min HaTorah. Fine. Now we have in our Gemara, Rava quotes a brisa that derives not only Tzir but also Rotev and Kippah. So Tosfos, Dibra Maskel V'Rotvan, which you'll see is the next to the last Tosfos on the Amud, he's very bothered by this. Why do we need a pasuk and a drasha to establish the Iser of Rotev and Kippah? You're talking about a case of Bishul. They were cooked in a pot. And if you cook them in a pot, then the Rotev and the Kippah, the liquid substances that are used for the purpose of Bishul, are Bolea the Tam of Isur. And that comes under the Halach of Tam Ki'ikah. And we paskin that Tam Ki'ikah is Doraisa, and Rava would agree to that. If that be the case, why does Rava need a drasha from which he derives Kippah and Rotev, when those could be derived under the general halacha of Tam Ki'ika? So Tosis offers the following answer. He says the Iker drasha is for Tzir and not for Kippah and Rotev, because Kippah and Rotev can be derived from the halacha of what? Of Tam Ki'ika. The Gemara sort of has an asmachta here to derive Rotev and Kippah, but it's only an asmachta. The real McCoy halacha here of Kippah and of course of Rotev is Tam Ki'ika. So it's only an asmachta. Tosis offers a second answer, and he says that you could have a Havamina to be Matir, Rotev, and Kippur, even though there's a Tam of Iser in it. Why? Because the Iser is formulated in the word Achila. The Torah says you should not eat these shrots. In the case of Rotev and Kippur, usually the general custom or normal way that you consume them is through shasiyah, by drinking them as liquids. And we don't know if these liquids have the same status as a foodstuff that's normally eaten. And for that we need a drush. So that Tam Ki Iker would give us a halfway measure. It wouldn't really take us all the way through, because we still have to know whether or not the halacha of achila could apply to shasi as well in the case of a liquid rota. So we need a drasha for that. Now Rashi, Dibra Maskel Lesser Leiser, which we'll see on the bottom of the page, three lines up from the bottom of the Amud, Rashi used the word pirma. Do you see the word pirma? So Rashi identifies kippa as pirma. What is pirma? Pirma, Rashi explains, is basar v'tavlin hanikpe b'shule hakdera. So you're talking about a combination of meat with spices that sort of gathers together on the bottom of the kedera. And this is based also on a Gemara on Daf Kuf Chaf. The Gemara mentions two interpretations of the word kippa, and even though the Gemara's final conclusion is that the word kippa means tavlin, spices, and not pirma, but Tosus explains here at the bottom of the Amud that in other places the word is used for both of these perushim, and they're both correct. So Rashi identifies kippa here as firma, and that refers to the actual pieces of meat, not just to the spices. And that's fine. Now, what does Rashi mean when he says, basar v'tavlin hanikpeh? What does hanikpeh mean? So the Maharam explains that what we're learning from this Pasuk HaTmeim is that if you drink Rotev and Kippah, it has the same status as eating Rotev and Kippah. And it's also included in the Iser Achila. And therefore, we're talking about a Kippah Nikpe Beshule HaKedera, which means, since it's nikpe b'shulei akdera, they eat it kederach achila. So that it comes out that we wanted to suggest that the chiddush of Rotev is that even though it's a liquid, it's still included under the Isra achila, but Rashi seems to block that possibility, because Rashi identifies the kippa as something that's nikpe. If it's a dovra nikpe, then basically it's something that you eat and not something that you drink. So he quotes here a sefer that we've seen in the past called the Lev Aryeh. The Lev Aryeh says that Rashi didn't mean to say that the kippah is karush, meaning it's really a solid substance, it's coagulated, but rather the word nikpen, Rashi, means that shokea, it goes down to the shulei akedera, to the bottom part of the kedera. It's like sediments, you know, that lower themselves to the bottom. Behumi lashon kafa tahoma. Okay, that's a Gemara in the Sefer Sukkah. Fine. So now, Rabosai, let's analyze the following question. We have Rav Mori Bar Rachel, and he comes in front of Rava, and he asks Rava, what's the status of the basar shkuta? So Rava responds by quoting a drasha called Hatmeim, from which we derive that seer is aser. So what was Rav Mori, and what was Rava? What was Rav Mori thinking? Why did he have why was he under the impression that perhaps the basar shchuta is mutter, and Rava says no, this seer, and even though there's no blia of dam at the time malicha, but he's going to be bolea, the piece of kosher meat is going to be bolea the seer. So Rashi says that Rav Mori Bar Rochel had doubts as to whether or not the basar, meaning the basar shchuta, is torud liflot. It's so busy being poleg, therefore it might not be bolea from the trefa. And Rav answered him, no, that even if it's torud liflot at the original stage, but later on when we get to the state of tzir, then the tzir of the trefa is nivla, even while the basar is still being polite. So it means that, as a general rule, we say once you're polite, you can't be bolei. That's only with regard to dam. But Rava was mechadish to him that with regard to tzir, you could be bolei at tzir even when you are involved in the process of being polite. So the principle of Aidi Detarid Liflo Lobali only applies to dam, lo bali dam. You have to add another word. But Aidi Detarid Liflo, he's not so torrid that he can't be bolet tzir. So the possibility of being bolet tzir is a lot easier to be bolet because it's a thin liquid substance.
Right.
So that's the way Rashi understands the Shakla Vitaria here, the Dinu Dvarim, the dialectic between Rav Mori and Rav. Rav Mori thought that maybe since the Basa Shchut is too busy being polite, it cannot be bole, even the tzir. So Rava answered him, no, even if it's busy being polite, the dam, it still could be bole, the tzir. Tzir has a whole different mechanics to it. So the Rashba is very unhappy with Rashi, because how do you read this into Rava? Rava came along and he darshaned the Pasuk HaTmeim, and from the Pasuk HaTmeim he derived the conclusion that the tzir of this animal, of this meat, is asur. Well, ikar chasam sefer. According to Rashi's presentation, Rav Mori never had a suffix. He knew from the get-go that the dam and the tzir is asur. He just didn't know whether or not the basar shchuta was being bolea the tzir. Was it being bolea the tzir? That's what he didn't know about. So Ma Heshiv Lo Rava, why did Rava respond to him and tell him that the tzir of these isurim, let's say shkrotzim, and will apply to trefa, is asur? Rav Mori never doubted that the tzir was also. What Rava should have responded to Rav Mori is that Darko shel tzir lihibola af kisha basa torud liflo dam. That even while the meat, in this case the kosher meat, is torud to be polated stam, nevertheless it's still bolei tzir. And the ikar is missing in the Gemara. So the Rashba therefore suggests that the suffix of Rav Mori was ha'im niflat sir me'abasa al yedei melicha. Does melicha have the power to remove not only dam but even sir? O shema ein darko shel melach lahaflit el adam levado velot sir. That maybe the power of melicha to cause the meat to be bolea is limited to dam, but it doesn't apply to sir. And Rava responds that from the Pasuk HaTmeim, we're going to darshan that there's an Isur Tzir, who behechrech imkem sheniflat Tzir al yedei malicha. That when this brisa derives from the extra hay of HaTmeim, an Isur Tzir, what the brisa had in mind was Tzir that comes out through malicha. Because if it was Tzir that comes out through Bishul, that's already included under Rotev. So why did the Bryce have a special derivation and a category called Tzir? And the answer is, it's for the case of Malicha. And what the Bryce is telling us is that through Malicha, you remove the Tzir of a Behema Asura, of meat that's Asur, and that Tzir will now be Nivla, will be absorbed by the Behema Shchut. The Ran offers a third interpretation of our Gemara, the Shakla Vitaria between Rav Mori and Rava, and according to the Ran,
because when you come to Balo,
just one second, where is this?
And you want to hear the shade.
Varan Piresh, Shirav Mori Yoda Shed Nivla Tsir Shal Boso, the Boso Akosha. From the Boso Osu, there's definitely going to be a Bli of Tsir in the Boso Akosha. What was his suffix? Shema Tsir Hayotse Al Yede Malicha Zea Bi Alma Hu Vieno Osir. So in other words, there are two categories of tzir. There's the real McCoy tzir, which is asur, and then there's a tzir which is called zeh bi'alma. It's just sweat, so to speak. It's really a liquid that vaguely looks like tzir, but it's not really tzir. And the question is, malicha. Although malicha can remove tzir, but maybe the tzir that comes out of the malicha is called zeh bi'alma, and it's not us. So Rava answers from the Braisa that the Braisa oseres tzir v'rotvan, and tzir is a separate category of rotev. It must be that that tzir was the tzir that was removed through malicha, and yet the Braisa says it's us. And at this point we turn to Daf Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. So the Gemara asks the following: why did Rava have to quote the Braisa and the Drasha of Hatmeim? Lemele, Rava should have responded by saying, Mide Shmuel. We have a principle of Shmuel. The Omar Shmuel Moliach Harehu Kiroseh, the Kavush Harehu Kimavushal. Salting heats up the meat, and it's like Kiroseh. So therefore, we could derive from Shmuel that the Bosa Shkuta is Mavlia, is Bolea the Tam of any food that it comes in contact with, right? In other words, when you take the basar trefah and you salt it together with basar shkuta, then basically it's like you're cooking them together. And if you're cooking them together, then certainly, without a doubt, the basar shkuta would be bolea the tam of the basar trefah. We also have another principle called kavush areikim v'vushal, which means that when you soak a solid in a liquid, it's as if you cook the solid and the liquid together, and the solid food will now be bolea the time of the liquid, and vice versa, as if they were cooked together. Now, once we have the principle of molia, harehu kiroseya, Okay. As Katut po kovush harehu kimavusha. But moliach is harehu kiroseh. So it means that the bosa trefa should generate an iser in the bosa shkuta. So the Gemara answers, Imi de Shmuel, if we would base ourselves just on the principle of Shmuel and moliach harehu kiroseh havamino, I would have thought, hanimili, that only applies to daman. Which means that if the dam is on top of the basar, so you have basar kosher, and you have dam that's on top of basar kosher, and they're all in one kli. So moliach is harehu kiroseach. And let's say, for example, you would have a piece of meat that's soaking in dam. Like, remember we spoke about a kli shein v'nukah. Let's say it's hermetically sealed.
So it, I agree with
that's only as far as dam is concerned. So the power of malicha is to be mavliya the dam into the bosa and to generate an iser in the bosa. Avol tziron v'rotvan lo. But Shmuel never said anything about tzir and rotev. Do we know whether or not malicha has the power to take the tzir and be mavliya the tzir in the bosa? Perhaps that's not true. And moreover, it could be possible that the impact of Moliach on Tzir is only Zeh Bi'alma. If you remember what we discussed in the Ran, that Moliach will only remove a Tzir that's not really Tzir, it's only Zeh Bi'alma. So even if it'll be Nivla in the Basa Kosher, it would not generate an Issa Kamashval, and therefore Rav has to quote the Braisa to teach us that Tzir Verotev of Issa is in fact Nivla. It's going to be absorbed by the Basa Kosher. kosher, and it's going to generate an isur through the process of malif. Now the Gemara asks a kasha on Rava from a brisa. Dag tohar shem molcho in dag tome mutum. We have a brisa that says if you salt a kosher fish with a non-kosher fish in the same kli, then everything is mutum. And we're not chosheish that maybe the dog tohar was bolea from the tome. What's the case of the brisa? Lav, isn't it certainly the case of hoyu shnei meluka? In other words, he's now salting both the dag tomei and the dag tohar at the same time. And nevertheless, there's no isur on the tohar. So it must be that the chaticha of the tar is so busy to be polled its down that it's not bolea, even seer. And this is against Rava, because Rava's principle was that you have to prohibit the basa shkuta because it's bolea that seer at the time of malicha. But here you see from this brisa that once it's polled, it's not bolea. So the Gemara says, look, the Bryce is not talking about a case where both fish were being salted simultaneously in the same pot, but rather kigon shahoya tohar molia v'tame tofen. He was salting the kosher fish, and he was not salting the non-kosher fish. The non-kosher fish is called tofel. The word tofel means without salt. In other words, tofel is something that needs malicha in order to give it taste. You have to add salt, but he didn't salt it. If he didn't salt it, it's called tofel. So therefore, in this case where he did not salt the dag tamei, there's no tzir that was niflat from the dag tamei, because the malicha is maflit dam and seer from the kosher fish, but the tofel, the dam tome, the dag tome was tofel, and it was not salted. So there's no reason to generate an Easter on the tahar meliah. In the case of Rav, on the other hand, there was a malif of both basar trefa and basar shkuta together, and in that case, for sure, the basar trefa is polled its seer through the process of salting. And now, what we said is that its seer is noachli bala b'shkuta. Even though the basar shkuta is also being polled its dam, nevertheless, it still is capable of being bolea simultaneously the seer. And we don't apply the principle of Ivy the Tarek Liflo with regard to the seer. Now, what confuses me, maybe Rabosi could help me out here, is if this Bryson is talking about a case where the dog tummy was tofel, so what's the finish of the Bryson? What was the Havamina that you would aser the dog tar if you didn't do any malich on the dog tummy? That I can't figure out. In any event, the Gemara has a different question, and that is, let's look at the Seifa of this very same Bryson. For me, the Katani Seifa, at the end of the Bryson, it says, Hoya tar moliach, the tummy tofel mutter. That it's mutter in the case where the dag tahar is salted and the dag tame is not salted. So michlal the ratio, the first part of his price must be addressing a case where he salted both the dag tame and the dag tahar. This is shnei meluka askina. That even though there were two pieces of salt, one kosher and one non-kosher, and they were being salted simultaneously, nevertheless, we won't say that the tar is asur because of the tzir of the tameh. Because since the tar is being tarud in plate, it's too busy being polled, it's down. It's not going to be bolea. And that's not like Rava, who says that the basa shkut is also because it will be bolea the tzir, even though it's tarud with love. So the Gemara answers, no. Perushi kama farish. This is not a case where the Seifa is a new Bava and addressing a new case, but rather the Seifa is coming to explain the Reisha. Why is it in the case of the Reisha that the Dad Tahar remains Mutter? And the answer is, Dad Tahar Shemolchun, Dad Tahar Mutter, because Ketzad, what's the case? Shahoya Hatar Moliach. Vehatome tafel, because the dad tome was not salty. Achinami mistaber. Now the Gemara brings a support that this interpretation of the brisa to support Rava is correct. The isal kedaita reisha b'shnei meluchim. If you're going to assume that in the reisha both of them are salty, is why do I need the sefer? The sefer is completely superfluous, because hashda now, if in the case of the reisha, which is shnei meluchim, and you're going to tell me that the dag tar is not bolei the tzir of the tamei, and if everything is mutar shari, is tar moliach the tamei tafmi boy? Did the rabbis have to bother telling me that if the tar is the only piece of fish that was salted, and the tafel was not salted, the tamei, excuse me, was not salted, that the tar is mutar? I mean, even in the case where he salted the tamei, it was mutar, because there's no possibility of being bolei the tzir. How much more so if the tar, if the tamei was tafel? So the Gemara answers, Inishum Halo Ira. That logic is not convincing. That's not a compelling proof that the Seifa is a Pirish of the Reisha. Why? Because Tana Seifa Lignuma Reisha. Seifa might be added here in order to indicate something about the Reisha. What does it indicate about the Reisha? The Gluye Reisha, the low tame, if we didn't have the Seifa, we would perhaps mistakenly think that the Reisha is talking about a case of Tahar Moliach Vitame Tafel. And only in that case is the Tahar Mutter Avol Shnei Meluchim, if he salted both of them simultaneously, Asur, then the Dag Tahar would be Bolea the Tzir from the Tamei to be Asur, is therefore Tana Seifa, Tahar Moliach V'Tamei Tafel, Michlal de Reisha Shnei Meluchim V'Afilu Hachishari. The Braisa went out of its way to spell out that the Reisha is talking about Shnei Meluchim, and how did the Braisa indicate that? How did it teach us that? By telling us that in the Seifa, we're talking about a case where the Tamei was Tafel, implying that in the Reisha the Tamei was Moliach, and nevertheless everything remains Mutter. When I say everything, I mean the Dag Tar remains Mutter, and that's because either the Tar is Liflot Lo Bali, and that applies even to Tzir. So therefore the Dag Tar is not able to be Bolea the tzir of the dag tome, because it's too busy being polite. And that's against Rav, because Rav says that the fact that you're being torud liflo dam, that doesn't have any impact on your ability to be bolea tzir. Toshma.
So this is against Rav.
And this is against Rav, meaning that at this point the Gemara is rejecting the proof which would have supported Rav as an interpretation of the Braisa. And the Braisa and the Sefer went out of its way to mention that the Tamei was Tafel, to tell you that in the Reisha the Tamei was salted. But we still apply the principle of Ivi the Tarid Liflot Lobali, even with regard to the Tzir. So that vis-a-vis the tzir, the dag tar is not going to have a possibility of being bolea the tzir, and therefore remains mutter. And that's against Rava, who says that you don't apply the principle of tarid liflo lo bali with regard to tzir. Toshma. Now the Gemara has a brisa, or actually it's the sefer of this brisa that we've been studying, and this is going to disprove Rava. This is going to be the the shlug up of Rava. The Gemara is going to shlug up the shlug up. And it says in the seifa of that brisa, that only when the tar is moliach, the dag tar was salted, the tamei is tafel, the tamei was not salted, then the tahar is mutar. Avle im haya tamei moliach v'tahar tafel, in the reverse case, where he salted the tamei and the tar was not salted, asur. Okay, now the reason for that is because the tar is now free to be bolea, the tzir of the dag tomei, Why? Because he salted the dag tome, the tzir now comes out of the dag tome, and the Torah is tofel, so therefore the Torah is free to be bolea, the tzir, from the dag tome. So the Gemara now has the following diuk. In what case did this brisa prohibit the tahar? It's only because the tome was moliach and the tahar was tofel. Hashnei meluchim, if both of them would have been salted simultaneously, which means that both Torah the liflot, is then shari, then there's no belia, and it's against the principle of Rava, that Rava says that you don't apply either the Torah liflot lo bali with regard to tzir. So the Gemara rejects this, and the Gemara says that ein ochinami, even if both of them were salted, the Tana would say that the tar is bolea, the tzir of the tummy, and it's also like Rava. Why didn't the Braisa and the Sefer mention the din of Shnei Meluchim? If the Braisa wanted to tell me a case of Isur where the dag tar became also because of this Malicha, why didn't it just simply mention the case of Shnei Meluchim? Why didn't it mention the case of the tummy is Maliach and the tar is Tafel? So the Gemara says, "Aidi the Tani Reisha." This is a symmetrical, a literary principle that it says in the Reisha Tahar Moliach v'Tamei Tafel, that if the Tahar was salted and the Tamei is Tafel, is then the Tahar remains Tahar. Again, what we're saying is that the Tahar remains Tahar because it is too busy being Bolea. And not only that, there really is no tzir from the dag tummy that's coming out of the tummy, because the tummy is tafel. So it's not a contradiction to Rava, because Rava only says his principle of tzir if both of them are being salted simultaneously. But here, the tummy is tafel, it's not being salted. It's tananami seifa, in order to parallel the resha and the seifa also, he uses the terminology of tummy moliach vitar tafel. He just switches it around, that he salted in this case the tummy, and he did not salt the tahar. And in such a case, the tar is aser because it's going to be bolea, the tzir of the dag tome. But you can't be medayik from here to be matir the case of Shnei Meluchim, because if it's a case of Shnei Meluchim, ein ochinami, it would be aser because of Rava's principle that even when it's being polate, it could be bolea tzir as opposed to dam. And why didn't the Braisa mention the case of Shnei Meluchim to be matir the dag tar even in that case where there was Malicha? The answer is because he wanted to maintain the symmetry, that just like in the Reisha he had the case of Tahar Maliach V'Tameh Tafel, so in the Sefer he has Tameh Maliach V'Tahar Tafel, and that is going to be the parallel between the language of the Reisha and the language of the Sefer. So that's what we have. Now, let's make a note of where we got up to. Okay. We're up to here, Daf Kuf Yud Gimel Amid Aleph Omar Shmuel, which is about, how many lines down? About 10 lines down from the top. Like that, yeah. Correct? Less than 10 lines down from the top. Omar Shmuel. And Mirtz Hashem, we're going to get into the sugya of what's called Basa Yotze Midei Domo, and that's going to be the issue of how to do Malicha, what's Malicha Yafe, what's Malicha Yafe Yafe. So that, Belineda, we'll pick up tomorrow.